Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the PEXA Group Limited FY 2021 results call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd now like to hand the call over to Mr. Glenn King, Group Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Firstly, I just want to say a thank you for joining today's call, and welcome to our PEXA's first results presentation as an ASX-listed company. I'd particularly like to welcome all of the new shareholders joining us today, including those in our practitioner member family and among our hardworking PEXA team who supported a successful IPO. Now, I'm going to refer to some of the slides in the presentation. First of all, I'm on slide three, and I just want to introduce myself, Glenn King, the CEO of PEXA, and my colleague, Richard Moore, who's the CFO. Today, we'll go through our business and financial performance for FY 2021, and we're presenting and representing all of our PEXA colleagues. You'll see the agenda on the page three on the right-hand side. We'll cover some of the business highlights, an overview of our business performance for FY 2021, the financial year 2021 financial summary, a bit of a cover on the outlook and update for the future, and obviously, we'll take some questions and answers towards the end. To kick off, if we go to page five in the presentation, which is just giving an overview of the business highlights. I must say, in terms of this year, financial year 2021, was a significant year in the life of PEXA, including our successful listing on the ASX on July 1. I can say that throughout the entire process, and despite the challenges of COVID lockdowns, the PEXA team has remained focused on the business and ensured our continued performance and delivery throughout financial year 2021. As a result, we're pleased to say that we're in line or exceeded our key financial year 2021 prospectus forecast, and our multiple growth initiatives have progressed as we planned. With a strong start to financial year 2022, notwithstanding the impacts of lockdowns, we are reaffirming our financial year 2022 prospectus forecast. If I go on to slide six or page six in the presentation, I can certainly state that at both a financial and operational level, we're in line or exceeded our financial year 2021 prospectus forecast. A couple of highlights. Our group revenue of 221 million is up 42% year-on-year. Our PEXA Exchange transactions at 3.3 million in financial year 2021 is up 37% year-on-year. Our PEXA Exchange EBITDA of 110 million is up 114%, and with our EBITDA margin is up 17 percentage points to 50% year-on-year. I must say that we've had strong metrics and performance all around for the PEXA business as per our financial year 2021 prospectus forecast. PEXA is a strong, resilient digital platform business. We've had sustained delivery, and we have good growth potential. If you go on to page seven, noting that good momentum and progress in financial year 2021 across all our business. As an example, on the left-hand side of this page, we talk about our member highlights and those who are new to PEXA, our members are our customers. A couple of things, as I mentioned, the growth in transactions on the PEXA Exchange platform. In addition to that, in financial year 2021, we continued to drive enhancements of the PEXA Exchange business with over 100 enhancements to the business. This included growth with PEXA Exchange services. It also reinforced the strong trust and partnerships we have built with our members, the lawyers, and conveyances that use our service, the financial institutions that utilise our service, our relationship and services with the public sector agencies, all who use our services every day. We're a trusted platform business. And in addition to the delivery of the extra exchange business in Australia in financial year 21, we also commence our additional growth businesses with entry into the UK, insights and ventures, all started in financial year 21. So let's go a little bit further in terms of performance. I'm now going to go to slide 9, or page 9, and just to talk a little bit in terms of the performance for financial year 21. So PEXA has 4 key growth areas, including the PEXA Exchange on the left-hand side of this page. Within the exchange, which is our large core business, we increased our digital footprint through the introduction of new property transaction types, while also bringing the growth and benefits of digital settlements to additional jurisdictions, such as growing in Queensland and South Australia, and also building out our connections with ACT. But outside the PEXA Exchange, we commenced in financial year 21 3 additional growth businesses built on the back of our success in the Australian property digital platform settlements market. This included PEXA International, where we're now seeking to replicate our success in Australia in certain other international Torrens title markets, starting with the UK. PEXA Insights, which we started in FY21, which seeks to commercialise our access to unique, nearly real-time and national property information by providing industry insights and analysis to existing and new customers. And PX Ventures, which seeks to build partnerships, delivering new digital platform products and services to business, industry and government. Now, I'll go through those 3 new growth initiatives shortly, but in the meantime, let's start with the core PEXA business performance in financial year 21, the exchange. So we'll now go on to page 10. So in financial year 21, again, a successful year. A couple of our things to call out. The PEXA Exchange is Australia's leading property settlements platform, handling 80% of all property transfers in Australia. We now have 160 financial institutions, 6 land title offices, 5 state revenue offices, 9,400 plus lawyers and practitioner firms, serving millions of consumers buying and selling homes, all connected with the PEXA Exchange or integrated with the PEXA Exchange platform. And in addition to that, we have strong net promoter scores of plus 50. Over 1.5 trillion worth of property has now been settled on the PEXA Exchange platform. In fact, we're an essential platform service to one of the largest and most important sectors in Australia, property. We help connect property across Australia and ensure that it keeps performing well. The PEXA Exchange platform performed as per our expectations in financial year 21, with, as I mentioned, over 80% of total property transfers now delivered through the PEXA Exchange platform. And in financial year 21, we saw strong growth in our newer markets within Australia. In Queensland, we grew market share from approximately 10% to now over 60%. And in South Australia, in the high teens market share to now close to 95%. COVID helped accelerate the shift of paper transactions to digital and therefore going onto the PEXA Exchange platform. In fact, the PEXA Exchange platform benefited from the rise in total property market transactions in FY21. And we saw transfers continually grow. Volumes, in fact, remain strong throughout quarter 4. The PEXA business is a COVID-resilient business, and not only do we just do transfers, but we also do property refinances. We also saw growth in that in financial year 21. In addition to that, we continued to grow and roll out more services to our customer base. And let's touch on some of that in the following slide. Slide 11. So in financial year 21, if we have a look at this particular slide on the left-hand side, we have a strong, innovative and customer culture, something that's been built up over a number of years. And that's come about not just in terms of what we've transformed into in regards to the property settlement platform across Australia, but also in the services that we continually enhance and deliver. So in financial year 21, through the insights of our customers and data, we improved the customer experience and deepened our relationship with our customers. As an example, we rolled out a new simple financial settlement summary to the PEXA Exchange that improves on-time and on-day settlement for banks. We upgraded the PEXA Developer Practitioner Exchange Service through PEXA Projects. We upgraded PEXA Exchange Consumer Services with PEXA Key. PEXA Key now has over 100,000 consumers that have used it, that allows them to track and communicate their property and bank details in a safe and secure way. And in financial year 21, we strengthened our partnership to work positively and proactively with governments and regulators to help with various reforms, such as possible stamp duty and interoperability reforms. And on the right-hand side of this page, we expect to continually grow and progress in the Australian market. As an example, we expect to see adoption of digital settlements in new jurisdictions such as the ACT. We expect to see additional digital enablement of property transactions in selected jurisdictions such as Western Australia that can be handled on the PEXA Exchange platform. We expect to see launch and development and rollout of new PEXA Exchange products and services to deepen our engagement with practitioners, financial institutions and home buyers. And we will continue to work closely and collaborate with regulators and government to support industry reform and the broader economy. The PEXA Exchange business has done well. Now let's quickly turn to some of the growth, additional growth initiatives. On slide 12, or page 12, starting with international. As I've mentioned, we started three new growth businesses in financial year 21. And PEXA International targets like markets to Australia, which have characteristics such as Torrens Title, and where there's an opportunity to use our leading digital and platform expertise to lead the shift from paper-based property transactions to digital property transfers, refi settlements, a shift that is accelerating worldwide. And in financial year 21, we commenced our international expansion, starting with the UK. Early days, but good progress has been made. We have a local team in the UK, 14 professionals on the ground. We have an expert advisory board in place. We've appointed our build partner, ThoughtWorks, excellent build partner, and the platform design and build is underway. We've had positive engagement with bodies such as the Bank of England Land Registry and a pilot group of lenders. And I can confirm we're on target as per our commitment in our prospectus. We have banks that have committed to progress with our testing. And then if I go on slide 13 or page 13, our other two growth areas in financial year 21 also started. We started our PEXA Insights business. This business represents an opportunity to build new revenue streams and services from our access to unique data and insights. And we started in financial year 21 and have made good early progress as per our commitments. For example, the PEXA Insights team is now 40 plus, including a number of data specialists. And we have built out a new property bureau. We've commenced the development of new insights products and services, and these are being tested with a small number of customers and testing well. This also included the release of various PEXA insight reports in partnership with others, such as Domain, to the marketplace, generating good media and market attention. And this has helped us to test customer demand and opportunities in the market. In addition to that, on the right-hand side, in financial year 21, we started PEX Ventures to appropriately partner and expand PEXA in the property ecosystem through the provision of new digital services to businesses, industry and government. And noting that this is a new early business, we still delivered in financial year 21 our launchpad. Our launchpad incubator was released and allows us to test new market innovations and digital services. We also had our first small investment with Honey Insurance, which in its own right is an industry digital disruptor. And we partnered with Small Business Australia to release Business Advantage to provide services to our business customers or members. So we've delivered as per our commitments on our three additional growth businesses. And lastly, from myself, in terms of slide 14, you can only do these things if you have an organisation that is trusted and has a strong culture. And given the critical role by PEXA in the property industry, it's an imperative that PEXA maintains and builds a culture of trust with our communities, partners, people, and the economy just generally. And in financial year 21, if I look from the left to right on this page, we maintain a strong performance as leading trusted brand among our peers. In the middle, in financial year 21, despite COVID, we continue to have a highly engaged, talented and diverse workforce. And in fact, recently PEXA was named in the top three best places to work in Australia for companies over 100 employees. We have a strong people engagement of 80% plus. And it's a testament to the culture that PEXA has built up over a number of years. And I'm proud of the PEXA team and our passion for customers. And a shout out to the team for the successful IPO. And lastly, as an organisation in financial year 21, we continue to take our ESG commitments seriously. We strongly believe in our role in the community. For example, we formalised our net zero commitment and embedded that in our group strategy around the environmental. From a societal perspective, we partnered with organisations such as Homes for Homes, a flagship social impact partnership, a highly innovative program working to address homelessness. And as another example, we continue to progress at delivery and our commitments to GRESB. So a successful performance in financial year 21, and I'll now hand over to Richard, who will take you through the financial performance.
Thanks, Glenn, and it's great to be here today for PEXA's first set of results as a public company. So before I start, just a couple of key points on this section. The first thing is the figures in the section reflect a pro forma P&L, and the adjustments from a pro forma standpoint are there to show PEXA as a listed company. So we've removed the one-off costs that came about as a result of the listing, and we've added into both FY20 and 21 about $6.5 million of public company costs, which will make the business comparable with the future FY22 results when we come to report those. Second point is any reference to forecast in here is the FY21 forecast that was in the prospectus which we lodged in June. So as Glenn said, we have had a really strong financial year in FY21. Our revenue is up 42% to $221 million. Costs are up just 6% year on year. And what that means is that our PEXA Exchange EBITDA, so the EBITDA from the core, is up over 100% to $110 million. Our EBITDA after our investments in growth initiatives and other one-offs is also up over 100% to $101.8 million. And all of those four measures are on or slightly ahead of the prospectus forecast. Our net profit after tax is in line with last year in the prospectus forecast, as was NPAT-A. And for those that don't know, NPAT-A is our NPAT excluding the impact of our non-cash amortization of intangible assets. So effectively a cash NPAT measure. And we show that so that you can see effectively the cash generation within the business. What that means is that the financial metrics were also strong, gross margin of 86.7%, up 1.5 percentage points, and a PEXA Exchange EBITDA margin of 50% exactly, up 17 percentage points from last year. Both of those also slightly ahead of the prospectus forecast. So a great FY21 from a financial standpoint. I'll now go in and explain the key drivers. Our revenue is a function of our market size, our market share, and price. And on slide 17, we explain the first two parts of those. So as Glenn said, the overall market grew strongly in FY21, up 19% to 4.2 million transactions. And on top of that, our market share or penetration grew 11 percentage points to 79%. So what that meant in total is that our volumes increased by 37% to 3.3 million transactions, as you can see from the chart on the right-hand side of slide 17, so slightly ahead of prospectus forecast. If you look at it on a product-by-product basis, on the left-hand side, you can see our transfer penetration grew by 14 percentage points to 80%. Our refi penetration stayed pretty stable at 99%. and our other transactions grew 6 percentage points to 56. And when you combine all of that, you get an 11 percentage point increase to 79% overall. So 19% market growth, 11 percentage point growth in share, delivered a 37% growth in PEXA transactions. On slide 18, we then explain how that impacts revenue. So the volume that we've just spoken about is on the top left of 18. On top of that, we had a 4% average price increase, which took it to $66. And by that through means overall, we saw revenue up 42% year on year. So up from 153 million last year to 218.6 in FY21, which was 1% ahead of prospectus forecast. I'll break down the pricing a little bit more. On the bottom left, you can see our refinance and other prices went up very slightly by CPI, as you would expect, given we do increase prices by CPI each year. But what you see in transfer pricing is it actually dropped by a dollar year on year, and that was because we had a discounting campaign in Queensland, which was there through FY21 to drive awareness and uptake. That discount ended on the 30th of June 2021. So whilst we did put a CPI price increase into transfers, the discount brought the overall average down to by a dollar. When you weigh all of that together, though, the fact that we've had a mix shift into transfers during the year meant that the overall price increased by $3 or 4%. So adding that 4% onto the 37% volume growth we've spoken about delivered a 42% growth in revenue year on year. And we did come in, as I say, a couple of million or 1% ahead of prospectus forecast. On slide 19, we then look at gross margin and cost of sales. Our main cost of sales are LSS fees. So those are lodgement support service fees. They're incurred when a PEXA workspace is created. It reaches out automatically to the land registry and pulls back a bundle of property information. It's charged on every workspace, whether it's a multi-party transfer, which would generally have four participants, a two-party refinancing, or a single-party discharge or other transaction. So what that means is as we do more transfers, more multi-party transfers, as I said, you saw the impact on price. That also impacts the cost per transaction coming down. So one LSS fee against four transactions, whereas on a refi, it's one fee against two. So what that means is we see a drop in the number in the cost per transaction. You can see in that top right-hand chart on slide 19, dropping from $9.50 to $8.80. And we also see that mix shift in transfers improving the revenue per transaction on the top left-hand chart from $63 to $65. When you combine that, the bottom chart shows an improvement in gross margin from 85% to 87%, and gross profit growing about 45% from $132 million to $191.7. Slide 20 then shows the rest of our operating expenses, which we group into three categories: product design and development, sales and marketing, and general and administration. Our product design and development cost increased by 7% year on year, and that was predominantly due to higher hosting costs driven by the materially increased exchange volumes. These costs were also 2% higher than the prospectus forecast. You'll see in the cash flow that we also capitalize a similar amount, just over $20 million of product development, so the total cash spend on product within the business in the year was about $45 million. In terms of sales and marketing, that spend actually dropped year on year due to the impact of COVID-19. We weren't able to hold and host many of our regular practitioner events, and we actually dropped our overall marketing spend as well. So they dropped 9% from FY20, and they were going on prospectus forecast. And in terms of our general and admin cost, which is our shared services, our board costs, our exec rem, professional fees, occupancy, and the like, they increased by 1.6% year on year, which effectively means broadly flat headcount and CPI increases on salary and other costs, also in line with prospectus forecast. And I'll just reiterate the fact that these G&A costs also do include that $6.5 million pro forma adjustment to bring in the public company costs that we'll see going forward. So hence our pro forma EBITDA was lower than our statutory in FY22. There is a reconciliation between the two later in the document. So overall, our costs broadly flat year on year and in line with prospectus forecast. So flat OPEX and strong revenue growth, what that means is a very strong movement in PEX Exchange EBITDA, which you can see on slide 21. The chart on the left shows total costs, so that's OPEX and cost of sales combined, and cost per transaction. And you can see that whilst costs increased, the fact that volume increased much faster meant that we saw quite a significant drop in the cost per transaction from $43 to $33, a little bit lower than forecast in the prospectus. And what that means on the right-hand chart is a very strong growth in PEX Exchange EBITDA that I mentioned, up 114% to $110 million and slightly ahead of prospectus forecast, as is our EBITDA margin, up from 33 to 50%, and again, slightly ahead of what we expected when we put the prospectus together. So in summary, from a P&L standpoint, a year of very strong growth, very strong revenue, great outcome on EBITDA, and delivering on all of the key prospectus forecast figures. Slide 22 then shows our cash position. So we've got two charts here. The one on the left shows the cash movements year on year, starting at $70 million, statutory EBITDA coming in at just under $117 million, key movements being the investment in product, which I spoke about earlier. So that's the one, the column that says intangible CapEx. We had a positive net working capital movement. And when you roll that all together, just before the IPO, we had approximately $160 million of cash in the business. You roll in some of the IPO changes, and we sourced $300 million worth of debt, and we paid out $400 million of shareholder loans just prior to listing. So on the 30th of June, we had a cash balance of $51 million. There were a remaining $193 million of shareholder loans on the balance sheet on 30 June, and all of those were repaid on the 1st of July from the proceeds from the primary raise on the IPO. The right-hand side of the table shows our sort of standard pro forma cash flow. I think the key thing to pull out here just is the strength of the free cash flow before financing and tax, $90 million, and free cash flow conversion of 89%, up almost double on the year before. So strong cash outcome in line with the volumes and P&L, as you would expect. Before I move to the outlook, I will just add that there are a few more details of the financials within the appendix, which are there for you to go and peruse as you see fit. And finally, from my standpoint, onto slide 24, which goes through outlook and the forecast for next year. When we listed on the 1st of July, we did explain to the market that we'd have a strong Q4, and I think we quoted a number of more than 960,000 transactions in the quarter. You can see it was actually 967, up 50% on the equivalent quarter in FY20. And what that meant was the second half was actually up 47% year on year in terms of PEXA transactions. They also, Q4 also exceeded the prospectus by 5%. That momentum has continued into early FY22. July volumes up 53% on the same month in the previous year. And while we are very conscious of the potential impact of the COVID lockdowns on the property market, we do keep a really close eye on property lead indicators, such as new listings, private sales, auctions, and the invitations to create PEXA work spaces. We have seen, and it's been well documented, that there's been a slowdown in new listings in Sydney and Melbourne. But what we are also seeing is the other capitals holding up well and the regions being pretty robust. And also that hasn't really flowed through to sales or auctions yet, and invitations to PEXA workspaces are also holding up well. So one of the things we also noticed during the lockdown last year is that when restrictions do lift, if properties have been withheld and not listed, they come to the market pretty quickly. And we certainly saw after the Melbourne lockdown last year that it returned to pre-lockdown levels really within weeks. So this, combined with a strong start to the year, does give us confidence to reaffirm our financial year 22 prospectus financial forecasts. So thanks for listening, and I'll hand back to Glenn to close.
Thanks, Richard. And just to close before we have any questions, just to summarize a couple of key points. So we've shown that we've got a consistent track record. We performed very strongly in line with our financial year 21 prospectus financials, and also in terms of our commitments of delivery. The growth is driven by the PEXA Exchange, and we've got our momentum across our other initiatives, such as international insights and ventures, whilst early days. As Richard said, the growth is despite our COVID-19. We've seen activity strong and robust, and the property market, from what we've seen, has continued to be resilient. We have a trusted brand and a strong culture and a commitment to our partners, community, members, and our people. And it's on this basis that PEXA reaffirms its financial year 22 prospectus forecast. And on that basis, Richard and I are now happy to take some questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then two. And if on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Our first question is from Josh Kanarakis of Barrenjoey. Please go ahead.
Hi, Glenn and Richard. Thank you for taking my call. First question just around the UK. You mentioned the commitments to participate in product testing with the Bank of England has been secured. I just wanted to clarify 100% that you have locked in that testing slot that you've talked about previously. And then also, if you could just give some details about, you know, the banks you've secured. Is it one or two banks? Is it more? Maybe some granularity on the types of banks. That would be greatly appreciated.
Thanks, Josh. If I kick off, the first thing is what I can say that in terms of our commitment as per our prospectus, our commitments and requirements of the Bank of England, I can confirm. So there's nothing that has changed in that regard. And so we're working closely with the Bank of England. We've got our slots, and we're working now on our design of our platform, as I mentioned, with ThoughtWorks. So that's the first point. The second point in terms of our commitment with lenders or financial institutions, and again, as per our prospectus, we flagged that we needed at least one lender to commit. What I can say is that we've got more than one lender committing, wanting to be a testing partner with us with these Bank of England slots. So everything that we said in our financial year 21 prospectus and what we're looking to do this year, we're in line. There's nothing out of our plan or on target. In regards to naming particular financial institutions, I can't. It's not appropriate for me to name them, except to say that we've got multiple who want to progress. That's the update I can give you, Josh.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so just, and in terms of the mix of banks, are you able to give us any context in terms of, you know, whether some of them are major banks, mediums, more like how the sort of breakup is in terms of that mix?
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely give you that. They are a mixture between the three. So as you know, in the UK, you have a number of large players, medium and a considerable number of small players. We've purposely looked to get a cross-representation of those three segments for multiple reasons. But yes, we do have representation from all those three segments.
Okay, great. And just following on from that, would you be able to mention just in terms of any key observations you've had on your feedback in the UK so far around your value proposition, like from key stakeholders such as the lenders and also some of the regulatory bodies?
Yes, I can. There's a couple of key parts I can certainly flag for the call. The first part is that what has been achieved in Australia with the PEXA Exchange and the positive difference it's made both in terms of efficiency for banks, as an example, operational efficiency, ensuring you get greater turnaround time, etc. That has been well received by the financial institutions in the UK market. and they're always looking for operational efficiency and improvement in customer service as well. And the good thing with PEXA in Australia, we've got a track record of delivering and making it happen. And that has been an important part of the conversation. The second thing that I can add to it is our engagement with the government bodies such as the Bank of England and the Land Registry have also been positive. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First, again, is the track record. But the second element is having a dedicated team in the UK, a team that has got experience of the UK financial services market and the regulatory market, and also running operations, complemented by Australian PEXA professionals who have gone over to the UK market to help the discussion with the IP. That, having that track record certainly helps with the conversation and gain that momentum. And probably the third part to add to it is that there's, you know, for a number of reasons, not just because of COVID, but in addition to COVID, there's a greater acceleration to get onto digital platforms. Because you've got to keep physical distance. Second, well, in the UK market, it's been quite hot in terms of property refinance, amongst other elements. And thirdly, governments, banks, and other bodies are all looking about how can we ensure our businesses are resilient, not just from an efficiency and service perspective, but also in terms of pandemics such as COVID as well. So there's some good tailwinds on that front. So the engagement, Josh, has certainly been positive and it's been receptive for a number of reasons. So, we're in line with what we said in that prospectus and we're committed to that.
Great. Okay. Excellent. I'll round back into the queue. Cheers.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you. Our next question is from Brendan Carrig of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I might focus my questions on the domestic side of things then. So just maybe starting on interoperability. So at ASX result last week or the week before, we had an update that Simply's connected with three banks and expecting to connect with the fourth later this calendar year. Maybe just from your perspective and your end of things, how are you seeing the progress around the potential for interoperability to sort of go live at some point next year potentially? And in terms of the investment and the cost side of things, have you built any expectations up for potential costs that you might need to incur relating to interoperability or the implementation of it?
Thanks for that question. I'll kick off first, and Richard might want to add a little bit on the costs. But the first thing that I can say is that, and what I'm really proud of from the PEXA organisation, is that we're working positively and collaboratively with all partners and stakeholders in the I include that government, regulators, banks and others with numerous reforms, and not just reforms potentially of interoperability, but as I mentioned earlier, stamp duty reform as an example. Now, one thing that is certainly said and we've leaned into it is to help the industry in regards to interoperability. We've agreed on a model, collectively all parties, and we've been working through, well, how can that model happen and what's the best thing for all stakeholders, including PEXA shareholders, PEXA customers, but also the economy just generally. And what's important to note is that you've got to do it in a considered way that is going to work collectively for all. And when I say in a considered way, a couple of points in there. As I mentioned earlier, we're connected with 160 financial institutions, multiple land title offices, multiple state revenue offices, and that's been built up over 10 or so years. It takes time because it's an important, complex sector. So you don't want to rush into things. So I firstly just want to say that, firstly, we are working to ensure we get the right outcomes for the Australian economy and businesses, etc. Secondly, I'm really pleased to see what the government and the regulators are doing and taking the time. We've got committees working groups going on. There's still work to do with legislation and the rules, amongst others, there's draft rules now being publicised, which we've provided feedback. And I think what's also been realised in the industry, that taking that considered time with doing one transaction in Queensland now, it's looking like sometime in calendar year 22, I think is the right way to go. And so that's the first thing I'd add. The second thing, though, regardless of interoperability, there's always competition. So that's why we're focused on and making sure we deliver quality customer service to our customers, quality outcomes for all the parties that we work for. That's why we're continually enhancing our service, adding more products and services. That's why we've got strong market share and strong net promoter score. And an example of that is Queensland, where we've grew from 10% up to 60%. So I'm ensuring, as is Richard and the business, that we keep investing in our business, keep maintaining our strength, keep growing in particular areas, and delivering quality outcomes, and ensuring that we support the government and regulators in ongoing reforms. So the way I look at it is we've got to just keep working together in a very considered way. So very comfortable with where it's progressing. Richard, on the investment fund side, we've got some funds set aside in our CapEx.
Thanks, Glenn. Yeah, if you read some of the forecasts, I think the cash flow forecast in the prospectus, you'd have seen that there's an incremental sort of $6 million between FY21 and FY22 in product development CapEx, and a portion of that has been set aside for work that may be required on interoperability. So whilst it's not been agreed the work that needs to be done yet, if there is work required in this financial year, it won't move us away from any commitments that we've made in terms of cash outflows in the prospectus.
Okay, that's clear. And then, Glenn, I might just sort of target in on some of your comments you made just around working with government on regulation and the stamp duty changes. So just maybe an update there in terms of milestones or timelines that maybe we should be keeping an eye on as the consultation or the most recent consultation period finished up a month or two ago now.
Yeah, what I can say, because obviously government have to make their own decisions in terms of policy reforms and introducing those as policy reforms. Really, what I can flag is that PEXA as an organisation, and we work with all the states, land title officers, state revenue officers on their reforms, and we're well placed to support reforms such as stamp duty and any other changes that particular public sector agencies or governments want to make from a policy perspective. So that's done. That's just to consider. In terms of timelines of implementation, that's up to government to do what they want to do. But we'll be ready to support as appropriate.
Okay, that's fair. And then, so just one last quick one, just on the UK. So Josh covered off most of my questions there, but just on the competition side of things, are you aware of any other I guess, providers globally or technology companies globally that are potentially looking to do exactly what you're doing and roll out a electronic property settlement network in the UK or elsewhere in the world?
Well, I'll take the UK. That's the area that we're particularly focused on at first. There's different organisations that play across the property sector and not too dissimilar to Australia, where you've got organisations such as the real estate portals and organisations that are driving efficiency, for example, in bank areas. But there's no like organisation that has done to the same degree as PEXA has with the exchange of bringing the land and the payments together in a considered way, connecting banks, government agencies, lawyers and practitioners. And that's the same in the UK. There's different parties doing parts on the property value chain, but not across the whole that the PEXA exchange is looking to do. So again, we're well placed. We've got the IP. We don't take it in a very arrogant way. We're working through. We're continually looking at the market and what changes are going on in there. But we believe that we're the leading player. We haven't seen anyone do it to a sustainable way and on a scale way as PEXA has with Australia, and that's why we think we're in a good position.
Okay, thanks. I'll leave my next. Thanks.
It's from Josh Kannourakis of Barrenjoey. Please go ahead.
Okay, hi guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Right. Great. I just thought I'd ask a couple more questions just around the domestic business as well. Obviously, very strong start to the year. Can you give us a little bit more context around, you know, some of the refi versus transfer mix and just maybe some of the trends you're seeing in that regard, firstly?
Richard, did you want to pick that one up or did you want
No, I can pick that one up. So what we are seeing, which is consistent with the last quarter of last year, is refis in particular being really strong. So the continued low interest rate environment and the level of competition between the banks is driving refis, you know, sort of to continue at elevated levels. Transfers are up as well. So, you know, as Glenn said earlier, the total market year on year was up 19%. Refis were up more than that, but transfers were up pretty close to it. And we are continuing to see that. But as I said, you know, the lead indicators are not particularly negative at the moment. We're still seeing, you know, good flows coming into the exchange. But obviously, in the future, there may be, it sort of depends on what happens with lockdowns. We do believe that if we get to the point at the end of this calendar year where there's enough vaccinations out there that we can open up early next year, that history would suggest that the property market will bounce relatively quickly. But, you know, really the reason we're confident in reaffirming our prospectus forecast is because we have had, you know, a strong start to the year.
Okay, got it. And just second one, just around within the domestic business innovation and development of the platform, you've mentioned a couple of those key initiatives. You know, when we think about medium term for the Australian business, can you maybe talk us through a little bit about some of the key focus items and how, you know, you can, I guess, provide but also extract, you know, more value out of the domestic landscape?
Yeah, if I just kick off. So as I mentioned, even in the year that's just gone, you know, we did, you know, over 100 enhancements to our core platform, which is an ongoing basis, which could take things such as things that Land Titles Office or State Revenue Offices want done to improving customer experience. And, you know, we have the member or the customer inside the organisation always helping with design improvements. So if I just give you one snapshot, we're looking at, as an example, to even streamline further the refi experience for our banking customers and partners, to remove a number of our touch points, which makes it more efficient and effective. And that's important given the volume that's going through banks, organizations just generally. It's important to help the banks and also to streamline the process to generate a better outcome for customers. So that's one example of efficiencies that we're looking to drive down. The second example, which I can also flag, is that we're working in terms of design to make it an even better experience for lawyers and practitioners in terms of the front end. And we're currently doing a number of tests and exploratory areas at the moment. And that's been led by our Chief Customer Officer, Lisa Bowie. So certainly over FY22, we expect to have a number of service design improvements being tested with our practitioners and members. And that's an exciting area as well. So they're two examples, all about improving the customer experience, efficiency, and again, as I mentioned earlier, just making sure you get a better outcome for the end consumers.
Great. Okay. And just final, just point of clarification on the UK on timing. So, you know, great to hear you've signed up multiple sort of banks to do the testing with. Is that this side of Christmas, next side of Christmas? Like, how should we be thinking about, I guess, the next signpost that investors should be looking at for success within that UK market?
Thanks. So in financial year 22, as in there, it's really the design, build and test of the platform focused on, you know, basic refi. So that's the first part. We'll have a greater clarity of the next results in 6 months in terms of what that progress looks like. But I would be expecting that 2 points that will give you an update in terms of what the design looks like and also ideally more in terms of our test partners. Really in the second half of financial year 22, we would be even more advanced in terms of the progress of the platform, so that ideally in the following financial year, we've actually got a transaction or transactions from refi in market. They're our key timelines.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Glenn.
Thank you.
Mr. King, there are no further questions. Would you like to make some closing comments?
Thanks, Ari. Look, probably a couple of things. Again, I just want to say it's been a remarkable financial year 21. We delivered in line or exceeded on our financial year 21 prospectus financials, but also delivered either in line or exceeded in terms of our business performance just generally. I just want to say a thank you to all shareholders, our partners, our customers, and our Pexarian people for a strong financial year 21. Richard and I are proud to be part of the organisation, and we're proud to represent also fellow executives and also on behalf of the board. So thank you very much, and we look forward to financial year 22.
Thank you. That concludes today's call. You may now disconnect your lines.